When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, Coach. Welcome to the podcast today. Before we jump in, I would like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Bar none. They are awesome. They rock. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Those machines are sturdy. They will not break down. They were like my old Explorer. They would run. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's your one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's unlike anything out there. You know, you can join all these other courses, but I guarantee you don't get their cell phone number. You don't get one-on-one calls. You don't get, you know, hey, Tuesday, I need to call with you. That's what makes teachhoops.com different. We have everything you need to become a better basketball coach. Doesn't matter if you're youth, doesn't matter if you're high school, doesn't matter if you're college. We're here to help. We're here to mentor you through this great journey we call coaching. All right, let's head off to the podcast.
Yeah, man, it's all based on regular defensive principles, but you got to switch everything. And so that takes a lot of time in our practice.
Okay. What's one thing you've learned this year?
To stay true to your mission. And from October 15th to November 15th, I wasn't true to my mission. We were going to win this thing. We're going to win the league. No, we're process driven and not results driven.
And that's hard. That's hard in today's society.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It really is.
And also, I think our clientele, it's definitely, they would blossom under the process driven. And maybe that's right. Why my former coach did it that way. But they're probably kids like Middlebury. I mean, that's a high academic school. You know, they are intrinsically motivated. Probably right. They want to please. They want to get the A's. Well, to say that they're already motivated to do well and to pile on and say, well, now you have to win this game.
Right, right. They're already motivated. Yeah. They've already done the academic piece of that puzzle. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that they can control. So control the controllables. Just process. Yeah.
That's the quote of the night. Control the controllables. Yeah. Is there one coaching moment that we could dive into? Like something that happened in your coaching career that would help someone that's listening, like a moment.
Okay. This is a couple years ago, and Chuck Gotherman was one of my players. He's now an assistant professor here at Grove City, and he's a minister on top of that. And for some reason, Chuck, I don't know, I yelled at him. I mean, as he was coming off the floor. Right. And he says, Coach, that wasn't me. I said, oh, film doesn't lie.
You know, ooh, that's a lie. Great, there's a quote. There's a coach. Film doesn't lie. I said that 8 million times. Film doesn't lie.
Next day, I looked the film, and he was absolutely right, and I was absolutely wrong. So in the middle of our team meeting, I said, fellas, I just want to apologize to Chuck Kofferman because he was absolutely right, and I was absolutely wrong. And just that apology.
Yep.
And in fact, This has happened numerous times since then where a kid will come off the floor and I'll get on him and go, no, coach, it was, and maybe my assistant will nudge me and goes, coach, it wasn't him.
Right.
And right there, I'll say, I'm sorry, buddy. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah.
I would think just apologizing when you're wrong, kind of, they see that you're human and they're more apt to, they want to forgive,
Well, and it's more about trust. They're going to trust you too. When you show you're vulnerable, yes. They're going to trust you. I agree. I think that's going to be, do you have any superstitions?
That I'm not superstitious. Okay. Here's another story. And this goes back to 2008 and, we were making a run and we actually won the league that year, but it was like the league championship game. And one of my players, John Scheller, goes, coach, here's your gum. I said, I don't chew gum. Why are you chewing gum? He goes, I always chew gum. I have to have a piece of gum before the game. This is lucky gum. I want you to have a piece too. I said, I ain't chewing your lucky gum. I'm not superstitious. It has nothing to do with that. It has you jump. If you jump to the ball, we'll be fine. Don't worry about your gum. And we won the game, but I try not to be because I want our players to play loose and – So, and of course, like everyone has a superstition or ritual.
Right. I mean, I always tell people I'm a tad superstitious, but it's more about routine for me than superstition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay, if I don't wear those socks, we're not going to lose, but it's more about like the old days when I was a player, like I put my left shoe on and then I put my right shoe on. It was really,
I was the same way as a player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why as a coach, I have superstitions. When we were making a run at 1 year for the state, I think I ate 27 number fours at McDonald's. So that's when I knew it was getting out of control.
Yeah.
Because by the 27th one on that Thursday, whatever it was, I didn't even eat it. I took a bite out of it. It was like, I was sick of them. But it was like, we kept winning. And it's like, oh, crap.
It was all because of McDonald's, right? It had nothing to do with your coaching prowess or your kids buying in. Nothing to do with that.
No, I don't even know if they knew it, but I knew it. All right. So I'm going to do what I refer to as rapid fire, coach. I'm going to give you a question. They tend to be very short answers, but they don't have to be. Sometimes I'll jump in. What is your favorite brand of basketball, the actual ball that you play with?
Voit. You know, the rubber balls back in the 1970s, Voit, V-O-I-T. They don't even make them anymore. Okay. I was joking.
I don't even remember the Voit. Yep. I had ponies. Do you remember ponies? I had ponies.
I wore ponies. I think it was my junior year of high school.
Yep, I had ponies in high school, and I still got my college Converse All-Stars up in my closet. You know, the ones that Magic wore and Bird wore. I got those upstairs.
You can sell those on eBay for, and you can retire early.
Yeah, they're all beat up because I actually wore them and played in them. So they're not in pristine. Okay, so what ball do you use, or what's your favorite ball?
Yeah, Wilson Solutions.
Okay. And is that what they use for the NCAA?
They do, and that's what our league uses as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I tell coaches just use the ball that they're going to use in the most important game you play all year.
Right on.
One word to describe your ideal player.
Selfless.
Amen. One sporting event you could go to in the world.
Okay, World Cup soccer. My wife is going to love me for this.
That's great. Well, after my first year teaching, I think I've told this story, but after my first year teaching, my brother and I went around Europe. So that would have been 90. I think it was 90. And we were in Italy, and the World Cup was in Italy. And I didn't know, what's the World Cup? I grew up in U.S., Wisconsin, whatever. And literally towns, we'd have to leave towns because the World Cup. And I remember going to this little mom and top place in like Milan or something. It was the best pasta ever. She brought it out, you know, the Italian mom, you can just picture her. And she puts it down and we don't literally see anyone for the next like hour. My brother and I are eating it, blah, blah, blah. And we go, what the hell? And everyone is on around the TV watching it.
Yeah.
I think Italy was still playing at that point. It's like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's like, there's a whole, yeah.
You can tell we're Americans.
Yeah, I definitely look like an American at that point. Favorite pregame meal?
Oh, it's got to be pasta. Okay. Old school pasta.
Okay.
With meatballs. I want meatballs with mine too.
Okay. Yeah. What is it? What did Bobby Knight used to do? He used to give them every player got vanilla ice cream and he got pistachio or something. Such a Bobby Knight thing. One skill not being taught in today's game.
Post-ups.
I would agree. I always say footwork is one that's really bad too. One thing you do to relax.
I read or exercise.
I don't
exercise. I can see you got a great library.
I don't exercise as much as I should. I try to take the dogs for a walk, but
that's exercise. That's clearing the mechanism.
It's definitely clearing the mechanism. My wife goes, God, that was like, there's a pond, you know, I don't know, maybe a half a mile from our house. So I walk around it and she goes, God, you did that fast today. I go, well, the dogs were moving and I was trying to keep up, you know? One coaching technique you consider important.
Technique. Okay. I would say that it is, it's setting a screen. I mean, we set so many screens in our offense that it's a paramount.
And how do you break that down?
Well, cover your private parts, cover your unit.
Yeah.
Make sure that your feet aren't farther out than your shoulders. Get your chest out and get angled properly. In other words, you got to read where that defense is. Don't worry about your teammate. He's going to read you, and that's how we teach it.
Okay? And do you spend a lot of time breaking that down into little pieces, like two-on-two? No?
Yeah, we do. Two-on-two stuff.
Mm-hmm. A lot of two-on-two. Yeah, because there's a nuance to where you set the screen and how you read the screen. High school kids
don't. Yeah, like butt to ball, butt to basket.
Yeah.
That's how we.
Kids don't do a great job of reading. You know, they'll just go where they think they're supposed to go.
Yeah.
Especially on that, not on the first screen, but the second screen. I had one team, they would cut high every time. I go, why are you always cut? You're not even thinking when you cut. Like, yeah. I can defend you because I know where you're going. It's like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where film is a wonderful thing. You can kind of teach them that. Best basketball player you have seen in person?
In person?
In person.
That was Julius Erving.
Ooh, I have his rookie card in my safe, actually.
Wow.
Yeah,
he was probably the best. Because I didn't see Larry Bird or Magic. No, I'm sorry. Let me take that back. It was Larry Bird when they were playing the Cavaliers back in the late 80s. Yeah, yeah.
He was something, wasn't he?
It was the last row of the old Richland Coliseum, but thankfully I had my glasses on. But he was the best player I've seen in person.
The game changed with Magic and Larry. Yeah. They really did. And
for young coach or maybe players, his book Drive is one of the best, I think. And maybe it's outdated because people know who Larry Bird is, but growing up and reading that book was a great motivation for me to really sink my teeth into the game.
Best basketball player of all time?
All time. I'm going to say was Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Who would you say, Steve?
I think after watching Last Dance, you got to put probably Michael. I think Russell is one that's lost in the shuffle a little bit because he won 10 and never lost in a finals.
Yeah.
You know, it's so hard to compare cross generations.
Yeah.
I think LeBron. The problem is LeBron has lost in the finals. Michael never played a game 7.
Yeah. Okay. Good point.
You know, he never lost a final. You know, it's like it's hard to argue with that one. But how do you compare a Bob Cousy or a Mikan to a LeBron? You can't. So I think you have to have generational things. I think the next great player of the generation lives in Wisconsin, actually.
Who's that?
I think Giannis is going to be the next great.
Okay.
I really do. Mm-hmm. If you're building a basketball player, you build him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 24 years old.
Think about that.
I mean, and he's like, if he goes from here to here. Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. I mean, but he reminds me. Yeah. Anyway. And one thing I was talking to a G League coach a couple of weeks ago about what people don't understand is how LeBron's still playing because LeBron takes care of his body. He spends like $1 million a year on his body. Like, these guys that stick around, you know, Michael didn't play as long as LeBron has played. Mm-hmm. But you know, the game has changed obviously since then. I would, it would be Michael, but,
okay.
I think he just changed, you know, I think Larry and Magic changed the game. I think Michael was the perfect person to come in next. What's your favorite drill?
My favorite drill, I know this sounds old school, but it's the shell. The shell drill is like the magic for teaching defensive spacing in all aspects. I love it. I think we do it almost every day.
Yeah, I think you have to. What's one thing that's made you a better coach?
Listening to my mentors. I've been so blessed with mentors. Even nowadays, I'll give you one example is Bob Schlosser, who was a longtime head coach at Elizabethtown College. He took them to a NCAA final, and he's taught me the flex, you know, and I knew him growing up, and I'm just indebted to a guy like that who just invested in me. So,
I feel like I know less now than I did in my 20s. Like, I feel like I need more mentors. I feel like I need more, like, isn't that crazy how that works?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's because I know I don't know everything.
I say that to my players, like, if you know that you don't know, you're in a good spot because right. At least you know your ignorance. But if you don't know that you don't even know, what are you going to do? Yeah, but
part of that's youth, though. And so yeah. Part of that's like, that's why they pick the young people to go off to war because there's no sense of invincibility. Mm-hmm. I mean,
invincibility.
Yeah, it's like, I don't feel like I'm as good a coach as I was 20 years ago, but it's like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like, yeah, anyway.
Hey, Steve, can I ask you a question about your assistants? I mean,
yes.
I'm so impressed with the fact that you've had, you know, two groups of assistants your whole career. How much now do you rely on them more and more as you get older? Do you delegate
more? I talk 25% of our practice, maybe. It's me talking. 25%.
I do the same thing. Like,
one of my assistants, John, basically runs. He does our offense. Like, John, mm-hmm. take it. And I'll just stand on the side, and then I'll grab a kid, and I'll do this, and I'll jump in. And it's like, I tend to take more of the defensive part, but no. It's like, and then I got another assistant that does literally all the scouting. Like,
yeah.
He comes to me, he gives it to me, I look at it. I'm still watching film and stuff, but mm-hmm. I don't – part of the reason I'm still doing it after 30 years is I'm not doing everything. Like, if you try to do everything, you can't. So
I think there's great wisdom in that. I know if I were – and, again, I don't – well, I have Sean Severson, 16 right. years as my right. assistant, and I rely on him heavily.
Oh yeah. If I lost my staff, it would be like I'd have to contemplate whether I'm coming back.
Yeah.
Like, because that means I'd have to get a new staff. I'd have to like
teach everybody.
Yeah. The thing is that, you know, and there's a little bit of a herd mentality, but I have them. They're far enough along, and we trust each other enough that they'll go, "That's not. Don't do that, Steve. What are you doing?"
Yes.
Like, one of my coaches always is saying, "Do less, Steve. Do less," because I want to put in three quick hitters. I want to do this, and I want to do this, yeah. and I want to do this. Do less. He always keeps saying it, and he keeps saying it because he knows I'm going to take it, and I'm going to mm-hmm. Listen to it. And
yeah,
it's the same thing with during a game. I want input during a game. Now yeah. I'll decipher it, but I want mm-hmm. all the input. Like in my 20s, I didn't want any input. I was going to do what I was going to do, and
I was the same way. I like you're saying that we know less now than we did before because a lot of information my assistants would give, and I would give that nod, like the active listening nod mm-hmm. and not even take their advice. And now right. it's, I'm listening and I'll take it. You know,
and the thing is you'll take it. And sometimes I make the wrong decision. I remember we won a state. I think it was our 09 state championship team. We were driving to the game, whatever. And one of my coaches goes, man, I'm saying to myself, we should 1-3-1. We should do this. He goes, oh, I don't know, Steve. I don't know. And we had a nice conversation about it. And then, at some point in that game, I pulled it out and we did it and it worked. And it's probably one of the reasons we won. But it yeah. was like, he was just giving me input. Like, here's right. It's like, whatever. I mean, I could have made the wrong call too. Mm-hmm. So that's what you want. And I always tell people you want a Yoda. You want somebody that knows more than you. You want an administrator, somebody that will do all the work. And mm-hmm. you want somebody that questions you.
Yeah.
You get two of those in one person. But those are the three things you need in the coaches. You need somebody that can keep you organized, Because you can't do all that stuff. If you're driving the bus, you can't worry about the directions too. Mm-hmm. And then you need somebody that, you know, is going to question you. And then you need an X and O guy. You need somebody that's like, if you got those, you're good.
You're in good shape. And
one person can do more than one of them. But for sure, your favorite quote and why?
Oh, you know what? Well, of late, now this is probably not my favorite quote all time, but, and this is what I'm using with my team is, and it's attributed to Winston Churchill. It's never waste a good crisis. So, you know, we're going
that seems
this.
Appropriate. Say that again, coach. Never waste a good crisis.
So, you know, how are we going to deal with this when kids are at home and you don't have your shooting machine anymore? You don't have your bench press anymore. You don't have your friend. Well, you're going to have to deal with that. This is a crisis, and let's grow through it. Let's be better on the back end of it as basketball.
Who said that? Winston Churchill?
Yeah, I actually heard it from Mike Bray from Notre Dame, who attributed it to Winston Churchill.
Okay, that makes sense. I just wrote that down because I'm going to send that to my players tonight, actually. One word to describe your coaching style.
Can I get two words? Am I allowed two words?
You can have two words.
All right, process-driven. Process-driven.
Okay, yep. Yeah, process-driven. Best basketball coach of all time?
I would have to say John Wooden. I mean, how many – well, the number of titles and also the number of disciples – and I'll use that term loosely – that he has developed over the decades.
Yeah, and what I tell young coaches too, you don't realize that Wooden and Coach K lost a lot early in their careers. Coach K almost lost his job.
Yeah,
he was close.
Yeah, John Wooden. That's right. He was not on top of the world in his early days in the 1950s at UCLA.
No, so that's what I tell him. Keep working. It will work. What one book you would recommend?
It was about the mental game of basketball. It was by Pete Carril. And if your listeners don't remember him, he was the longtime coach at Princeton University. And it's called The Smart Take from the Strong. And it's not a very long book, but
it's a great book. It's on this shelf.
You read it, Steve. Okay.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. It's like little snippets.
Yes.
It is the Snapchat book for the generation because they're little stories. Point. It's like they're paragraphs. It's like you can put in your bathroom if you really want a book for your bathroom. Yeah. Swear to God, it's that kind
I
of book.
I read it on the bus to away games. You know, just a couple chapters, and just to I guess remind myself.
Easy read. Yeah. Yep, easy.
Hey,
read.
Steve, can I ask you the same question? What would you recommend?
Because for young coaches, I always say stuff. Players need to know
Divenzio.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the book I always go to because it's good for coaches. It's good for players. Mm-hmm. I'm asking the question, so I don't have to answer it, but it would be really hard for me to pick one book because it really depends on, do I need to read grit? Do I need to read toughness? Do I need to read something that's X's and O's?
Yeah.
So I don't read it. The books back here for my, I don't read as much. I listen to books more now.
Okay.
Than I read them just because I'm busy and I can do two things at once.
Yeah.
So I can mow the lawn and listen to a book. So I'm trying, you know, I tell my players and students that time is the most valuable resource you have.
Yeah.
So I always try to contain things.
Sure.
So reading is almost a vacation joy. But yeah, that's hard. I mean, that stuff would probably be the one I would pick if I had to pick one. But there's so many good books.
Yeah.
No reason not to listen to them now either. One thing we already did that one. All right. One thing you would tell a young coach, this is the last question. One thing you would tell a young coach.
Surround yourself with good people and good things will happen. And get mentors. Get a mentor or mentors or accountability, people that are going to hold you accountable to being true to yourself.
Yeah. The mentor thing is you have to find somebody and you can have more than one.
That's what
people don't understand is I have ones for different things.
Yeah, that's a great point, Steve. Yeah. And I've had different ones in different seasons of my life. Right. Like early in my career, it was Frank Kuhn, who was the head coach at the high school that he hired me as the freshman coach, and a wonderful human being, and just kind of set me straight. And then later on, it's other people. So
Right. Like my brother runs a venture capital company. I'll talk to him about finances, but I'll also talk to him about basketball because he knows basketball. So you can have ones that do multiple things, but then you can have other ones that I'm going to go to this one when I have an administrative issue or I have, you know, a life issue, or this one I'm going to talk to about like just basketball. So you can find different mentors that are going to give you different things.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when young coaches hear mentors, they think, oh, I got to find somebody who's going to. No, I mean, you need mentors in more than one aspect of your life too. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be that well-rounded person, but well, thank you, Coach. I really do appreciate coming on.
Hey, Steve, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this I really enjoyed this. This is awesome. Yeah. I will put you will send me all your all your contact stuff, and I'll put it on the show notes, and people can get a hold of you. All right.
Okay.
Perfect.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like. We love those. And send me an email, steve@teachhoops.com. Tell me what you want to hear in the future. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.